I'm Craig Calcaterra, and it's time for three stories you should know. The U.S. Olympic Committee is moving toward decertifying USA Gymnastics. That's where we're going to start this week, and I'm joined by Lindsay Gibbs of Think Progress. Welcome back, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
And by Only a Game's own Karen Given. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Craig.
Lindsay, you're up.
As Craig just mentioned, this week, the U.S. Olympic Committee finally announced that it was going to decertify USA Gymnastics, which means it's taking steps to remove it as a governing body of the sport. Sarah Hirschland, the CEO of the USOC, told all the members of the gymnastics community, "You deserve better." This is a step that survivors of sexual abuse by former Olympic doctor Larry Nassar have been calling for years. It is well, well overdue. So you might be asking, why now? Let's just say the turmoil at USA Gymnastics just keeps turning up a notch. About 3 weeks ago, they hired interim CEO Mary Bono. This was 3 weeks after firing their former president. Mary Bono lasted 4 days on the job. After her announcement, it came out that she had tweeted very anti-Nike things, and it also came out that she had worked for the law firm that had helped USA Gymnastics cover up Larry Nassar's abuse. The New York Times just reported that just last week, USA Gymnastics miraculously found a bunch of documents that people had been searching for 2 years. They just happened to kind of show up in the Indianapolis office. These were...
Well, did they look under the couch? I mean, you got to look everywhere for these things.
So the U.S. Olympic Committee has gotten a lot of praise for this, but it just seems like it's for such strange reasons to me and not because hundreds of people, thousands even, were abused. It's mainly because of their incompetence that the USOC is taking over.
What a reason. Karen, what do you make of this?
I agree that this is long, long overdue, but I got to say, when Sarah Hirschland said, "You deserve better," to the athletes, my initial response was, "You do. You deserve better than the USOC." You know, like, keep in mind that this organization's role in the Nassar cover-up is still being investigated. And at the very, very least, the USOC knew in 2015 that Nassar was being accused of abuse. Abuse continued for a year. In that year, 40 women were abused. And this is the organization who's taking over to clean it all up. This doesn't seem like it's really going to work, especially since it's not just USA Gymnastics that this has happened in. It's USA Swimming, USA Taekwondo. So I don't know that I really trust the USOC to take on this task.
Well, Captain Ronald is going to clean up the gambling in this establishment, I guess. It definitely seems like a bad idea, but I don't know that we have better ideas. And the one thing that I've heard in response to all of this is, well, what's going to happen to the gymnastics team? What's going to happen to our standing internationally? And my response to that is, who cares? That's the sports end of it. And I think the athletes have shown that they are far more responsible and far more resilient than anyone in charge of this mess. Over time, we're going to have wonderful gymnasts again because we always seem to produce them, and they're going to find a place to be. The real issue is finding a safe place for them to be and a competent place for them to be. So I don't care if this sets us back quite a bit for a little while. We got to fix this stuff.
Plus, we're still winning.
Yeah, we still have Simone Biles, so we'll be fine. I think, you know, I just think it's so important to remember that the USOC is not the heroes of the story, as Karen said. You know, it's the survivors. It's these athletes and these survivors who have spoken out and continue to demand accountability. They're the ones who got this done. It is an important step. It should not be the final step.
This week, I'm going to talk about something a little less fraught than that. I'm going to talk about old guys talking about baseball, which is always full of all kinds of nastiness and messiness and idiocy. But hey, why not? This guy's not an idiot, though. Bill James, he's one of my heroes, the sabermetrics guru Bill James. He's now a senior advisor of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox. He had quite a night on Twitter on Wednesday night. He started tweeting about athletes being overpaid, baseball players being overpaid, said if all the players retired tomorrow, we would replace them. The game would go on in 3 years. It would make no difference whatsoever. The players are not the game any more than the beer vendors are. Well, that was quite a thing to say, and it's caused repercussions all week, both with the Boston Red Sox, the Major League Baseball Players Association. A lot of individual players have taken issue with that, not surprisingly. But while it's certainly the case that that's controversial, I also think there might be a core of truth to that. On some level, we're all kind of rooting for laundry, are we not? It's a little bit of a gladiator sport. These players come and go. So is Bill James right? Are athletes that fungible?
They're not that fungible. We fall in love with athletes. Of course we love teams, and of course we root for laundry, and of course it's all silly. But it's the personalities. It's the people. It's the stories you get to know. And, you know, maybe I'm old school here, but, you know, forgive me for thinking that a numbers guy is the one who doesn't understand the importance of the people actually producing those numbers. The people on the other end of that stick. It just reminds me of old man yells at cloud.
Karen, do you have any clouds to yell at with this?
You know, I will yell at Bill James for this, right? This idea that the players are not the game any more than the beer vendors are. I got to say, I find that insulting to the beer vendors, because one of my favorite things about going to Fenway Park is hanging out with the Irish sisters who work the Guinness stand. But I'm not sure he's completely wrong with the fact that we would get over it if all the players retired. I mean, look at this year's world champion Boston Red Sox, right? They last won in 2013, and there was only one guy still on the field from that championship. And nobody said, I can't watch this. Where's Big Poppy? We all got into it. We all love the game. I mean, in some ways, we're rooting for the team, not the people.
I think his idea was what you just mentioned, that there is transition over time with teams, and we tend to get over it. I think what really caused this to stick in people's craw is that he works for the Boston Red Sox. He advises management when it comes time to decide how much we should pay players and whether we should cut this guy or trade that guy. And there was an element of conflict of interest in there probably that I think really offended people. So I get it, but it was a lot of fun. Karen, you've been picked to go last in this segment, and that's my pitiful attempt at foreshadowing.
Sometime before February 17th, the NBA All-Star squads will be picked, and they will be picked playground style by the two players who get the most votes. And the NBA did this for the first time last year, and everybody loved it. So of course, they got to go muck it up and change it. And what they want to do is make the draft live on TV. And everyone loves this idea. The players love it. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver loves it. The NBA beat writers love it. So I've taken it upon myself to figure out why this is a terrible, no good idea. One, LeBron James supports this idea. Do I have to remind you that LeBron James did that The Decision thing on ESPN? I mean, I'm not going to take this guy for what makes good TV. Two, lots of people on Twitter think this is a good idea. And if we start making policy based on Twitter, we're in really big trouble. And three, I have to give this up because it's not really that terrible of an idea.
Lindsay, how terrible?
Not terrible at all. I'm so excited. I can't even pretend. I can't even pretend to be contrarian here. I think this is fun. The WNBA did this, a similar thing last year, and I was advocating for it to be televised and was told that the Players Association probably would never allow that to happen. So I'm really excited that the NBA is setting the precedent this year. And it's great with the NBA because all these guys are making so much money and they're all so talented. So you're not really feeling bad for them. But for once, just to think of one of these superstar athletes is the guy picked last. That's going to be fun.
I was a guy picked last very, very often from kindergarten all the way up through high school. And I'm not bitter at all. I'm not resentful at all about that. And I'm not even going to be sympathetic to the last player who was picked. Oh, no, I'm going to be crying for him. Are you kidding me? The only thing I will add to this that I think could make this better is if we go full playground on this and we make half the team take their shirts off and we do shirts versus skins. That's the logical conclusion to all of this, I think. So I don't know.
Totally
what do you think, Karen?
I love it. You know, I tried to make one of my arguments that I would feel bad for the guy who got picked last. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but Russell Westbrook apparently last year momentarily thought he had been picked last, but it was really just his last name starts with a W and they put in an alphabetical order. It just makes me laugh that people who make this much money could get their feelings hurt for being the last all-star. I mean, you're still an all-star. It's all good.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Think Progress's Lindsay Gibbs and Only a Game's Karen Given. Thanks to you both.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Craig.